Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone has had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But we are here again doing our movie series at Buckeye. This is something that we have repeated year after year. Many say that this is one of their favorite series that we do. And to be honest, me too. Okay, I love this series. If you do not know this about me, I am a huge movie fan. And for me, there is nothing quite like going to the movie theater and having a great time. It is something that brings me joy. It's something that I love to go do. I know when I am feeling down and out, my wife is like, let's go catch a movie. And for some reason, I just transport back to being a kid again, and it's one of those things that I just love to do. Personally, my favorite food to get at the movie theater is not what we're offering here today, so my wife loves to get the popcorn and get a slushie and whatnot. That is not for me. I am a soft pretzel kind of guy, and I'm going to tell you right now, if you have not gone to the local AMC right here in Grove City, they have the best pretzel you could ever have. It is called the Bavarian Legend, and it is 1.5 pounds of soft pretzel, not bites. It's a giant pretzel that comes in a pizza box, okay? It is the coolest thing ever. You know, if you're feeling like, hey, I need a snack, and you have 5 friends with you, it's perfect, okay? So it is awesome, but what we have here is just some of the other junk food and things that people find that comfort food. But movies themselves are such a wonderful thing. You can tell some super in-depth stories where when you get a character who's going through something, you just go, man, I feel that as well. Like, I relate to that character there, or you relate to what is happening, or you may even put yourself in a situation in a movie and say, what would I do here? How would I handle myself? What does this look like? And so you go into that scenario that you would never be in because it's a fantasy movie, and you're like, huh, how would I react? And then there are some movies that are just fun and have crazy concepts. So there's a movie that my wife absolutely despises. I think it's fantastic, and it's one where it's not a deep storyline, and it delivers exactly what it promises. This movie is Pacific Rim. If you have not seen Pacific Rim, it's about giant monsters fighting giant robots. What else do you want? Okay? Storyline is not needed, all right? It's amazing. So it's one of those where sometimes it's just an escape. There's not much more to it, and it's just one of those where you look at it and go, that was fun, and you move on with your life. Now, for me, I have a very harsh rating scale when it comes to movies. You know, when I say to somebody I gave a movie a 6 out of 10, they go, wow, that's really mean. I'm like, no, that's great. All right. If you want a fantastic movie, you're about 8 or above. That doesn't just get delved out. All right. I don't play that game. All right. There's so much that goes into this. And so for me, I look at so many different aspects of a movie. I'll look at the lighting. I'll look at the music score. I was going to look into how the acting is, and did the people that they picked actually fit the role? Was it believable? You know, there's some movies where you're like, that was a bad casting option. That was terrible. And then you ask things like, how was the storyline? Was it too short? Did they answer my questions? Was it too long? We've had some of those too. Did it actually follow its own concepts? Was it consistent with the process? And people look at me and go, wow, you've got a lot invested in this. I do, okay? I really, really do. But there's so much that goes into a movie, and I love every piece of it. And so for this series, the whole point is to take these well-known movies and pull out different aspects of those movies that can give us biblical teachings. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, Iron Man, which is next week, then it will be The Karate Kid, and then The Incredibles. And so with this movie, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, one of the things that I do is I have to watch each movie again. And so I want to watch it, and then I really go through it in my head, and I'm like, okay, what scene is really going to fit in here? Because I have the concept, and my memory is fairly close to what the movie was, but maybe I missed something. And so we have Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and this is the original. So out in 1971, and so one thing about this series that I do that people complain about is that I've spoiled the movie for them. If this is a spoiler for you, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care, okay? It's over 50 years old, you've missed the train, all right? It's not my fault if I ruined this movie for you. And you know what? Go watch it because you're only getting a piece of it and a short synopsis. But the whole premise of this movie is there is this boy named Charlie, and he is quite poor, and he has many relatives that live under one roof at the same place at the same time. And this family lives in a town that has a chocolate factory owned by a man named Willy Wonka. And for the first time ever, Wonka is allowing a select few people to come out and tour the chocolate factory. And one lucky child is going to have a lifetime supply of chocolate. And the way that Wonka chooses for them to who's going to get in is with something called the golden ticket. So if you've heard about the golden ticket, I got the golden ticket. Yeah, some people know what that is. And so what he did was he hides it in the chocolate bars. And when I was rewatching this, I'm like, that is like the best marketing scheme ever. Like it really would be. There's only five out there. And so if you buy enough chocolate bars, boom, you'll get into the factory. I think that would really work. But what happens is some very obnoxious children, they end up getting the golden tickets. And then you get Charlie, who is just lucky to be there. And to be honest, rewatching this movie, it is weird. Like, it's really weird. And it's been a while since I've seen it, and I'm like, this is weirder than I remember, and we're going to talk about it at church. And so you're walking through it, and you got these little orange dwarves that sing songs, and they're called Oompa Loompas. And there are quite a few different songs that happen throughout, and you get one girl that's turned into a blueberry, and another is sucked up a chocolate tube, and a boy is then shrunken and pulled out of a TV. It's weird, okay? That's just it. It's a strange concept, but with that being said, it really does pull at the imagination. It is just a movie of wonder and magic. And so you get all these different pieces and you're like, this is strange, but I can see where the wonderment and magic comes from. And I remember even as a child watching that movie, there were scenes that were creepy. Yeah, and it's because it was weird. But I also remember the sense of wonderment going, wow, this is a cool, magical place. Especially when they open those doors at first and everything in the room is edible and they're just running around grabbing, eating everything. And I was like, man, the imagination on this is crazy. But the underlying premise of the movie is that there's this guy named Slugworth, that's the dude's name, and he's trying to steal the secrets from Willy Wonka. And there's this new candy that never goes away, and that is called the Everlasting Gobstopper. Now, I made a couple stops at a couple different stores getting the candy. I could not find Gobstoppers. I have no clue why I couldn't. They're usually pretty easy to find, but we don't have them to show you today. But they have this new candy that Wonka has created that will never go away. And so what Slugworth wants is he wants one of the kids to steal it from him for the tour there. And so throughout the movie, every kid does something really terrible and they end up getting stuck in this bad situation. Personally, my favorite, if you haven't seen it, I think Veruca Salt's song with the golden goose, you know, is fantastic. You know, when she's singing this, you know, I don't care how, I want it now. And I'm like, the kid's horrible. I'm so glad she's in the trash chute. But anyways. But then you even see Charlie and his grandpa, they break the rules. They get into some of this fizzy lifting soda and it makes them fly into the air and they were told, no, do not drink it. It's not ready. We can't have you guys doing this. But at the end of the movie, what happens is all the other kids, they're gone. They're off the tour. They had to be juiced or trashed or whatever, all the crazy things that happen. And so you have just Charlie and his grandpa, and they're there in a room with Wonka, and that's where we're going to start the clip off today. But so what we see here is Wonka says, you broke the rules. He flat out says to them, you're out. It's over. You lose. You didn't listen, and so your time here is done. You get nothing. But then Charlie takes the everlasting gobstopper that's in his pocket, and he gives it back to Wonka. He has no intention on betraying Wonka, and so he just hands it over freely. And at that moment, we see that Wonka changes. And he says to him, you did it! You won! And you find out that Slugworth there was in on it the whole time. So what truly happened is even though that Charlie had messed up, Wonka got to see his heart. He got to see that Charlie cares about Wonka and everything that he's doing there more than just having fame and fortune. And so now you may be asking, what does this have to do with us? Well, this clip that we just saw, we are Charlie. We have been given so much. We have been given this golden ticket, and it is everything. We are given the keys, we are given freedom, and we have this beautiful and amazing thing that's being handed to us for free, and we did nothing to deserve it. We've done nothing to earn it, but it is still being given to us. And that amazing thing that we are receiving is not a chocolate factory. It's salvation. It's freedom from our sins. We are forgiven. We are loved. We get to have this amazing relationship with God. He wants to talk to you, and He wants you to be there and talk to Him. Just like this clip, we think God, though, is like Wonka. We think that if we mess up, if we fall short, then we're out. Well, I didn't follow His commands. I sinned. I messed up again. Well, that means we've lost it all, right? That means we've lost the love of the Father. We're no longer worthy. And I want you to know that's simply not true. And I've said it many times already, and I'm going to say it 1,000 times more. God does not want you to just follow a list of rules. God wants something so much more. He wants your heart. He wants your love. He does want your obedience. But overall, He wants you as a whole. Charlie showed that it's not about what he can gain here. Yeah, he broke a rule. Yeah, he messed up. But he still loved Wonka and everything that he was doing so much that he said, I'm still going to follow you. I'm still going to be loyal to you. And this is what God wants from us as well. So we're going to start off by turning to Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. From the front, I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I am using, we have some in the rows there. We have a stack in the back. If you do not own a Bible, please, please, please take one with you today. It is yours to keep. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. We're going to go ahead and read Matthew 22, 34 through 40. It says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So here we see right from the mouth of Jesus, it is not just about following the law. It's not just about following all the commands that God has given us. It's not just saying, well, I took enough good actions here of what God has asked me to do, so now I'm good to go. It's so much more than that. It's not just about what you can do. It's not just about your actions. It's not about works. It's not about being this good person. It's about loving God so much that your love for Him is through your whole being. You love Him with your heart, your soul, and your mind. And Jesus said, this is the first and greatest commandment. It's not that the Ten Commandments, that if you keep all of them, then you're good to go. That's not what He said. He said, give God your everything. It's not the other 603 commandments from God in the Old Testament that are the most important thing in the world. They didn't point to them and say, follow the law, because then you're good to go. Yeah, we should follow God's commands. I want to make that clear. I don't want you going out and saying, oh, I don't have to listen to God because my pastor told me it's cool. Don't worry about it. No, that's not what's being said. What's being said is following the law is not enough. Following the set of rules is not enough, because God wants you. That's what He really is asking for. So yeah, we should follow God's commands, but it's because we love Him. But it's so much more than trying to be good. It's about surrendering to God. It's about us saying, I love you so much that I will follow you. I will follow your commands. I will do what you ask of me. I know you're trying to help me and not hurt me, and that's why I'm going to do what you say. And we know that we can never do good enough. We can never be perfect. You are going to sin. You are going to do things wrong against God. That's just the flat-out truth. And it's biblical. And we're going to read that out of 1 John 1, 8 through 10. 1 John 1, 8 through 10. It says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us." Verse 8 right there is so strong. It just says, oh, you think you're good now. You think you're doing great. Well, even if you think you're following all the commandments and you think you have not sinned, well, guess what? You are literally lying to yourself because it's not true. But what we have to do is recognize we have messed up. We are sinners. And if we take the power away from our sin by confessing them to God, it says right here that you will be forgiven by God. And He will purify us, meaning wash us clean. He's going to work in us and through us. You have to know you can never follow all of these commandments. Take a look at your life. Look at what you're doing wrong and confess it to God. And then try to turn from it. That's what repentance is. We hear repent in many different scenarios, whether it's in here, whether it's on a street corner with somebody with a bullhorn. They're yelling, "Repent, repent!" And it just seems like a negative, but it's not. It's the best thing you can do. Because what you're doing is you're recognizing the things that you're doing wrong. You're finally sitting down and going, "Ugh, I don't think this is good for me." And you're saying, "I'm going to try to follow God instead." But then you get this very common question. And this comes around from a lot of people that are new to Christianity or just trying to learn what this says. And they say, "Well, I don't understand. If God is just going to forgive me, then why shouldn't I just keep on sinning and just asking for forgiveness? So it'll be fine, right? That's the way it works." No, that's not how it works. And again, this is biblical. So we're going to read this out of Romans 6. It'll be Romans 6, 1 through 14. Romans 6, verses 1 through 14. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we will certainly also be united with Him in a resurrection like His. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." Now there's a lot that's being said there. And what Paul is doing when he wrote this, he's repeating himself in multiple ways. So you'll go, "Oh, I understood this one," or "I understood that one." It's just him reiterating over and over again. And it starts off very simple. Should we keep on sinning? So that way, you know, God's love can increase, right? Because God's going to forgive me anyways. So that's what I should do. But verse 2, there's an exclamation point that's in there for a reason. And it's because it's not just a, "You know, you really shouldn't. It's fine." No, that's not what it says. It says, "By no means." That's flat out saying, "No, don't do that. That's a bad thing. That's not the way we should be looking at this. This is not what we should be doing." Because if you have said that God is everything, if you have said, yeah, I know there is a God who is all-knowing, He exists, He's given me everything that I do not deserve, He has shown me true love. If you're saying, yeah, and I follow Jesus Christ, His Son, I know He's died for my sins, then we know the truth. You know what really matters. And that's why verse 11, it says, in the same way as Jesus, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive in Christ. Meaning that old life, what you used to live for, the things that you thought that mattered, money, fame, pride, anything that makes you feel good, all those things, they don't matter. That old you is gone. Those sinful desires that you have inside you, it says to throw them in the grave. Leave them behind in a pit. We're finding ourselves in a trap as followers of Christ. We're saying, I believe in you. You are awesome. You are amazing. And then we say, I'm going to sit my sin right here. Okay? I might need it. I might need to grab it. This is something that I might have to go back to because I miss it. And we're being told here, stop setting it on a shelf. Don't put it in a chair. Throw it in the grave. It needs to be gone. Stop running back to it. Why? Because you've been made alive. You have freedom. And people always ask me, freedom from what? You know the truth now. You don't have to sin. You don't have to live for your desires. You can live for something so much more fulfilling. And verse 14 really just sums up everything that he said. Sin is no longer what you live for. You're not living to fulfill your desires, but you are now to live for God. And it says His grace is what we live under, not the law. Meaning that checklist, I'm going to follow 613 commandments of God here. You don't live under that. You live under His grace, His love. Meaning when you mess up, you're not out. When you love God, you are not done when you sin. You do not lose. No, you are still in the loving arms of God, and you are still His. And if you are still struggling with this thought process, we're going to do one last group of verses from Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Those aren't the right verses. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And so I want to focus on verse 8, because this says it all. It is by God's grace alone that you have been saved through your faith. It's not something you can earn. It's a gift from God. And that is not because you were good when He chose to save us. And that's what verse 4 is saying. It's all because of His great love for us. He did this through His Son, Jesus Christ, while you were living a life against Him, while you were denying Him, while you were hating Him. That's when He chose to die for you. It's not when you had it all together. It's when you were hurting and lost. And so it's time to change our mindset. It's time to give our all to God. It's time for us to stop beating ourselves up for our mistakes. And it's time for us to stop saying, well, God can't love me because of my mistakes. I hate hearing from people, if you only knew, John, the things that I've done. And I'm like, God knows and He forgives you. What do you think I'm going to do? It's a simple truth. Yes, God wants you to turn from your mistakes. He wants you to stop giving in to your desires. He wants you to stop sinning. But you have to know flat out, God loves you. God loves you in spite of your sin. God still wants you. You are not too far gone. You are not too evil. And you are not too gross for Him. What you have to do is go to Him. Pray to Him. Recognize that you're in need of a Savior and give your life to Him. Give Him your heart, your soul, and your mind. Stop with the checklist. Yes, we should be following His commands. But when you fail, when you fall, do not run from God, run to God. That's what's going to change your whole life. And that's what brings me to the challenge for today. And this is not going to be fun. When I was writing this, I was like, this stinks. I don't like this, but every time there's a challenge, I want you to know I have to do it as well. I can't ask of you to do something I won't. And so the first thing we need to do is you have to recognize your sins. You have to look at your life. You have to look internally. And you have to look at the things that you're doing wrong. If you do not identify that you have a problem first, you'll never move past it. I understand we don't like to look in the dark corners of our life. We don't like to share the horrible thoughts and feelings and things that we do or have done. But it tells us right in here, confess it to Him. Go to God. Stop hiding it. Ask for forgiveness and He will forgive you. And then try to follow Him with your whole being. Give Him your all. Every day, draw closer and closer to Him. Your sin does not disqualify you from God's love and grace. I want to say that again. Your sin does not disqualify you from His love and from His grace, because He loves you through your sin. Now turn from it. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for all the blessings that you give us. Simple blessings like movies to entertain us and to have a good time with. But also, more importantly, your word, your truth, everything that you show us. I pray that we can open our hearts to you, that we can look at the things that we are doing wrong and say, God, I just keep messing up, but I still know you love me. And to say, yes, I'm ready to turn from these ways. We need to jump into the Word, and we need to talk with each other, and we need to share with one another everything that's going on in our lives so we can keep each other up. You are the good Father, and you give us this example on how we are to love people and love you, and I pray that we can follow it every single day. We love you, and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.